From God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel just read. Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd in this portion of John's Gospel. And typically, we picture the shepherd a lot like the cover that's on our bulletin today, standing out in the open pasture and letting his sheep freely roam as he tends and watches out for any danger. And that's a wonderful image as long as Jesus is the one standing there keeping watch, because he also goes on to describe what happens if a wolf comes along and it's only a hireling who's there to protect the sheep. But at the very beginning of this gospel reading, Jesus describes a sheepfold. Now, a sheepfold is a walled enclosure that protects the sheep at night from the attacks of wolves or coyotes. And the sheepfold, for our purposes, as Christians hearing the words of our Good Shepherd, is the Christian church. It's a place where the Lord's sheep are safe. Why these walls, though? Why do we need protection? Because there are predators out there. There are dangers to the Lord's sheep, especially to the sheep that wander, the trouble that they can get themselves into. But there are also more active predators who try to find their way into the pastures of the Lord and steal the sheep and destroy them. By setting up these walls, Jesus is teaching us, his sheep, why it needs to be that way. You see, we're not just the Lord's sheep that he's gathered as he walked along the dusty roads of Palestine. He found us when we were caught in the thicket by our horns. We were teetering on the brink of going off the edge into hell. We were chased by coyotes like the devil and his demons. We were sheep who had been saved from any number of deadly perils. And he's washed us and made us clean in the pure water of baptism. He's given us a place where we can safely graze. He's fed us and tended us. He's binded up our wounds and made us his own. So there is a safe place inside the sheepfold, which is the church. And there's also a place outside the church. Inside the church, inside the sheepfold, rather, we have peace with God. We call on him as our Father, and we have his help and his consolation in every time of need, and we have the hope of eternity with him. Outside the sheepfold, though, there's only doubt and despair. There's uncertainty and danger. There's no peace with God. So we always have to look to ourselves and see if our works have been enough, if we've done enough to leave the right kind of legacy, if we've done enough to justify ourselves in God's sight, because we don't have Jesus as that assurance. There's no certainty of God as our Father. So people are afraid that all they'll find in heaven is an angry judge. Or maybe in time of need and disaster, there's an impotent bureaucrat running the world, and he can't really save our society, and he can't really save us from disasters, and he can't really save our lives when we're smitten by deadly diseases. Outside the sheepfold, when scary times come up, it's all up to you. You are the one, even if you have spiritual belief, who has to come up with your own path to serenity. You are the one who has to come up with enough pithy sayings to find a sense of peace and maintain your own sense of hope. Never mind any surety about what happens after you die. But inside the sheepfold, you have a shepherd who loves you. His every aim for your life is so that you endure trials, that you endure even sufferings that happen unjustly. It's a gracious thing in the sight of God that you remain steadfast in the faith that the Spirit puts in your heart. And his goal in everything that happens is your eternal salvation. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Yet those on the outside of the sheepfold still try to force their way in so that they can destroy the Lord's sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Outside the sheepfold are thieves and robbers. Thieves steal from you the treasures that belong to a child of God. Your faith, a clear conscience before God, your love for God and your love for your neighbor. They steal from you the calm confidence that no matter what happens, even if the mountain should be moved into the heart of the sea, that the Lord of hosts is with you. They steal from you the calmness that comes from having an open ear with God who hears your prayers. The boldest of these thieves even use biblical language. They steal God's word, but their purpose is to rob you of the pure message of law and gospel that comes through the scriptures. They might insist on using only one version, like the King James, or they might use an obscure translation for their own purposes and pick out verses here and there that suit their own design. Or they might go the whole way and come up with their own translation altogether. But no matter what the outward marks are of this type of thief, their work is clear. Instead of proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins, they turn the Bible into an almanac to predict the future. Or they make divisions between levels of salvation or different dispensations of one group of people being saved this way and another group of people being saved another way. Or they claim that simple faith in Jesus just isn't enough to be a true Christian. The more subtle thieves, though, work their way into Christian circles, and they replace scripture with counterfeit, attractive sayings. The scriptures say, with the temptation, God will provide a way out, that you may endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But they replace it with the common but unbiblical concept, God never gives you more than you can handle. Or they substitute firm statements of God's everlasting faithfulness and care, no matter what happens, like nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, from Romans 8:39. Instead of that, though, you hear the measly, God has a plan in this. Again, they take clear statements from the mouth of the Lord, like, unless you repent, you all likewise perish, and cover it over with the idea that because God is love, he would never send such fine people to hell. Now, robbers, on the other hand, are those who make personal attacks to steal your salvation, because that's the difference between theft and robbery. They call into question your personal faith. They question whether you are truly a Christian because you struggle with sin. Because your life isn't pure enough, they say, how could you really be a God-fearing person? They fill you with false guilt about things that don't come from the commandments. Or they might hold up their own example and then look down on anyone else who doesn't have the same devotional habits or hasn't had the same kind of personal testimony or hasn't done as much for the church. And then they subtly imply that unless you meet that standard, you're just not as good of a Christian. However, inside the sheepfold, the Christian church, the only voice that matters is God's. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In this sheepfold, the Lord, through his word and sacraments, gives you abundant life. And not abundant life as you've heard it described by some, of health and wealth and prosperity, of never getting sick and always having a lot in the bank, but a rich life of faith, of faith that endures trials and still stays true to their Lord and Savior. And with that faith comes all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven, even here while we dwell on earth. You have a heavenly Father to call upon in every need, who answers your prayers and sustains you and loves you, protects you from danger, and gives you everything that you need for this body and life. You have a high priest before God in heaven who sympathizes with your weaknesses and interposed his blood for all of your guilt. And you have the Holy Spirit, who not only works this faith in you, but also comforts you with the assurance that even though heaven and earth would pass away, you have indeed believed the right gospel and followed the right shepherd. Jesus is the gate who opens the way for his sheep to have this abundant life. He laid down his life for the sheep so that all of these treasures could be theirs. Therefore, he also jealously guards and keeps all those who would try to steal that away from you. He guards against them with the sword of his word. And he's given you the Holy Spirit so that you have ears to recognize only his voice. And on the contrary, to flee from the voice of strangers who come to you with counterfeit gospels. And the Holy Spirit gives you ears to hear only Jesus' voice. You flee from the voice of strangers. When you hear that, you are not afraid to turn off the TV, walk out of whatever service it's being proclaimed at, or abruptly end the conversation, because you know that what's being spoken is dangerous. It is a word that will steal your hope of salvation. And your Lord doesn't want that. So he jealously guards you, and he protects you. He watches over you, and he causes Satan to flee from you so that you can endure those temptations and remain in your faith and remain safe in the sheepfold that he set up for you. Because the strangers really can't deliver on what they say they can. But your good shepherd loves you, and he protects you from all of those dangers, both the soul and body. And he keeps you in that sheepfold. He is always faithful. And may he preserve his flock, you and me, from every danger that might come upon us, and give us everlasting life. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.